Shalom, shalom, shalom to the bride of Christ. God bless you. It's another moment to watch for the coming of the Lord. I'm Bro Olumide Jesus David, and this is Rapture Watch on your favorite TV station, The Bride TV. God bless you. And I have with me my wonderful brother, Brother Gabriel Yejeka. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, Bro Olumide, and shalom to the bride of Christ worldwide. Yes, welcome to Rapture Watch. Another interesting opportunity for you to be blessed. Afterwards, we are here to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. Get a pen and paper, write something in your book, but also place it in your heart. That's the most important place to put it. God bless you.
The last episode was very, very interesting.
That's right.
We'll still continue with the same topic, understanding the seals. And today we'll be looking at the chronology of the seals. Very interesting. We have so much reaction. A lot of people were blessed and excited, and some people were questioning what the pastor thought. He's no longer a guest anyway, our teacher, and that's none else but yourself, the Bride Assembly Lagos Church, our wonderful pastor, Brother Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Shalom to the Issachar brothers.
God bless you, sir.
Who are hooking me left and right. If I miss this one, I will catch this one. Firing me a question up and down, but God will help me.
Amen.
So that you will not remember any question that I will not be able to answer.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank God for this great opportunity to be with us all today.
Amen.
As we yield to heed the admonishment of the Lord to watch and pray. Watch what? Watch for the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And be prayerful. And that's exactly what this program is set to achieve. As we look at, take our focus to what the bride should be paying attention to as we look forward to the soon coming of our Lord.
Amen.
So welcome to another episode of the Rapture Watch. I believe God will cause us to say something that will help you to be more focused and take your eternal destination more seriously. Shalom.
Thank you, sir. We trust so many people, so many of you are blessed, especially with the last episode of this interesting topic, understanding the seals. We would love to hear your feedback. We would love to hear from you how the Lord is opening your eyes, not just through Rapture Watch, but through the Bride TV. So please record a video of yourself and family and send to the number on the screen so that we can air it out to the world. Feedback from viewers, how you became blessed since you came across the Bride TV. And the Lord bless you as you do so. Today we'll continue with the same fire, understanding the seals. And we'll be looking at the chronology of the seals today.
Now, the topic is understanding the seals. It's not only one seal.
The seals.
The seals.
Yes, sir. Understanding the seals.
The seals.
Yes, sir.
Not one seal.
Of course.
Yes, sir.
Understanding the seals. And we'll be looking at the chronology of the seals today. From last episode, when we started this beautiful journey, we have a reaction from a wonderful brother all the way from Jos here in Nigeria. And in fact, he said so many things that has raised several questions, which we'd love to ask our pastor today. Firstly, you know, pastor says regularly that if you don't follow the ministry of William Branham, you will not go in the rapture. And then the brother is asking, what qualifies one to be in the rapture?
What qualifies one
to
be in the rapture?
Yes, sir.
The answer is immediately is three scriptures. I mean, or let me limit it to even two scriptures.
Okay.
And the first scripture is Romans chapter 8 and verse 11.
Romans 8:11. It says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from dead dwell in you.
So if that spirit, the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you.
He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
And in Colossians chapter 1, the last statement in verse 27.
Colossians 1:27. The last statement.
Yes.
Which is Christ in you. The hope of glory.
The Christ in you, the hope of glory. And how is Christ in you? Now, that statement, Christ in you, is a loaded statement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say Christ in you, the hope of glory, it is, remember that how is Christ in you? It's by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But not just the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but remember our destiny in Romans chapter 8,
yes, sir,
and verse 29.
Romans 8:29.
Yes.
Okay. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
And there's a scripture that speaks about that Christ may be formed in you.
Galatians
4. So, where you first read?
Romans 8.
Where you first read Romans chapter 8, let's emphasize it again.
Okay.
Romans 8:29.
Yes.
For whom he did foreknow.
Yes.
He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren.
What is our destiny?
To be conformed to the image of Christ.
So when he says Christ in you,
okay.
The hope of glory. Now, this is what Apostle Paul was saying in Galatians 4:19. The wish of Apostle Paul. You know, it's very, verse 19.
Okay. Galatians 4:19.
Yes.
My little children.
Now he's talking to the believers. What did he say?
Of whom I travail in birth again.
Until what?
Until Christ be formed in you.
Wow. Be formed.
Be formed in you. Hmm. So you can now see that when you say the baptism of the Holy Ghost, generally, we speak like that. But when he say Christ in you, the hope of glory, remember that Christ was the image of the invisible God.
Wow.
Amen.
So we have to put on an image, the image of Christ. That's what Apostle Paul speaks about Christ being formed in you. He's talking about the character.
Mm.
So, and that character is only achieved by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
And it is then you talk about the hope
of glory.
Of glory.
Glory.
So, when we talk about your question again,
what qualifies
the baptism of the Holy Ghost that forms that image of Christ in you. That gives you the hope of glory.
But how do you balance that with the statements you make that you don't follow the ministry of Billy Branham, you won't go in the rapture? How does that come in?
Perfection.
What is perfection?
Perfection. Now you will notice that in Matthew 5:48,
you see,
when we talk about perfection, listen.
Yes,
that same brother. Okay. From Jos.
Yes, sir.
You know, when I push this understanding that the ministry of William Branham is the ministry for perfection.
Mm.
Now, he disagrees and looks at it differently, that the Bible says that the fivefold ministry.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, sir.
Yes. Because that's the same question.
Yes.
Yes,
that's the same question. What are you going to ask me?
Yeah, if the Bible says Ephesians 4:11, and the fivefold ministry is for that's the true. Perfecting of the saints.
Read it, let them see.
Ephesians chapter 4.
Verse 11 and 12.
Okay. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints.
Now read it further.
Okay, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Verse 13, give you something connected to Colossians 1:27.
Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith.
One.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Two.
Unto a perfect man.
Three.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness
of Christ. So it's fullness of you. To Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, it's true that the fivefold ministry is the ministry for perfection. Now, but watch it.
Yes, sir.
There is the perfection of the church.
Corporate.
Yes.
Okay.
And there is the perfection of the individual.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Yeah, so,
stages of perfection.
Two types of perfection.
Yes. Under.
Perfection of the church.
There is the perfection of the church.
Church. It's the body.
And as a body. Yes, and there's a perfection of the individual. So, when I spoke about William Branham being the perfecting ministry, I am not looking at the perfection of the individual.
Okay.
I am looking at the perfection of the church. Because for the perfection of the church, Revelation chapter number 1, you will discover that from verse 12.
Okay. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his ears were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire.
Now go to verse 20. There are two things he saw. Okay.
The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right
hand.
The
mystery of the seven stars. Remember verse 16. Go to verse 16 before we come to verse 20.
And he had in his right hand seven stars.
He had in his right hand how many stars?
Seven stars.
Seven stars.
And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength.
Now verse 20.
The mystery of the seven stars.
Now understand the seven stars that you saw. Where?
In my right hand. And the seven golden candlesticks.
What are they?
The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches.
Yes.
And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
The seven churches. Why the seven stars? Why the seven stars? The seven stars, like he said, they are the
angels.
Angels to the seven churches. What are these seven churches? They are the churches we start seeing from chapter 2.
Chapter 2, that's true.
The one at Ephesus.
Smyrna.
Pergamos. Thyatira. Sardis. Philadelphia. And Laodicea.
Yes, sir.
As stated here. Remember, it's a revelation. The book of Revelation. The book of symbols. Now, when you want to understand these seven stars. Now, we know that the story of Esther, the story of redemption. Now, if you go to Esther chapter 1 and chapter 2, you will notice that the king had, let's read it, seven chamberlains. Oh, this is very exciting.
Hallelujah.
The book of Esther.
Okay.
You are there.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
The book of chapter 1.
Verse 10 and 11.
Now, we know that the Queen Vashti was speaking of Israel.
Yes, sir.
The king himself, you know, is the Lord, the King of Kings himself.
Amen.
You know, he had his wife who was supposed to be Israel. And he came variously depicted in various forms, you know. She turned him down. Of course, she refused the gospel. And that was why a replacement of another queen. Now, I want you to note that Vashti is a type of Israel as a nation, not as an individual Jew. So also, the replacement of Vashti, which was Esther, is a type of the Gentile church. But this Gentile church is, the Gentile bride was to go through seven different dispensations. Not the individual. Now, but take note, just as the church, a corporate, the body of Christ, goes through seven different stages, dispensations, before the rapture, perfection, before the rapture. So also the individual grows in the stature of perfection to seven different stages. That is why I say there is a perfection for the church corporate and there is a perfection for the individual.
Amen.
I hope you're understanding me.
Yes, sir.
So when we say perfection, here you see in the palace of the king.
Yes, sir.
Now we see verse 9 and verse 10.
Okay. Esther 1, verse 9 and 10.
Yes.
Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the women.
Yes.
In the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Meuman, Bidsta, Abona, Bikta, and Abakta, and Zeta, and Kakas, the seven chamberlains.
How many?
Seven.
Seven chamberlains.
That served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king.
Okay. Mm. Now, you go further to chapter 2. We see them again in from verse 5.
Chapter 2 from verse 5.
Yes.
Right. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jer, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem.
Remember that as at this point, they are now looking for a replacement for Vashti.
Yes, sir.
Okay, verse 7.
And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther.
Esther's Jewish name was Hadassah.
His uncle's daughter.
Yes.
For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and her mother were dead, took for his own daughter.
Yes.
So it came to pass, when the king's commandments and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of a guy, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of a guy, keeper of the women.
Who?
A guy. Keeper of the women.
Of women.
That is, her guy, keeper of the women. Mm. Eh? Mm. And seven chamberlains.
Yes, sir.
Take note. Let's read on.
Okay.
Let's read on. Verse 9.
And the maiden pleased him.
Yes.
And she obtained kindness of him.
Take note of this verse 9.
Mm. Yes, sir.
And he speedily gave her things for purification.
Uh-huh.
Which all things has belonged to her. Mm-hmm. And seven maidens, which are meats to be given her out of the king's house.
Uh-huh.
And he preferred her and her meats unto the best place of the house of the women.
Now, you will notice something here. Inshallah. You know, that we have seven chamberlains, and there is an eighth chamberlain.
Hallelujah.
All of them have, in fact, there is even the ninth chamberlain.
That's right.
Sir Ashkars.
That's right.
They are all having something to do with the church ages.
Quickly, sir, just to brush in something. Verse 9. I don't know, sir, maybe you put a statement on this. Why was she given seven maidens? Does this have any connection with the seven steps you mentioned for herself personally?
She was given seven maidens because seven is the number for perfection.
For her now?
For her, as an individual.
As an individual.
Because remember that, I said, thank you very much. You are following. Because remember that I said, for the individual, you have
seven steps for perfection.
True.
Which you see here. She's been given now, looking at her as an individual, while at the same time she also represents, you know,
the church ages.
So I want you to note, what is the purpose of this chamberlain? It's for the perfection of the saints. And each chamberlain was a type of the seven stars. In the right hand of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible said they are the angels to the seven churches. So remember that the Bible says that we are built upon the foundation of
the apostles and the prophets.
Jesus himself,
the chief cornerstone.
Chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20.
Yes, sir.
Now, so if it's the cornerstone, so who is in control? It's still Christ.
Yes,
so that you will know that it is for different dispensation. Corner is a dispensation. Corner is a dispensation. Corner is a dispensation. And each dispensation, there is always a star angel.
Amen.
That God will use for the perfecting of the saints.
Hallelujah.
That's what, you know, I want you to understand.
Amen.
Now, again, when we talk about perfection, perfection in the context as it is used, you know, perfection means maturity.
Yes, that's another thing.
Yes.
Our brother said perfection is, as used in Matthew 5:48,
yes,
is completion, not maturity.
Now, I'm coming to that.
Okay.
Okay.
When I finish, and the question is not covered, then you let me know.
Okay.
I said perfection means maturity. Now, this is where you see in the scripture, Hebrews chapter 6.
Hebrews 6.
Verse 1.
Okay. Hebrews 6, 1 says,
yes.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ,
what should we do?
Let us go on to perfection.
You should go on to what?
Perfection.
Perfection. Here in the usage, says move into maturity. Not laying again
the foundation of repentance from dead works.
I mean,
and of faith toward God.
Now we should move on to maturity. But the word there says perfection. And it is, when you say move, that is growth. When you say move, that is growth. And when you say growth here, then you understand why 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5 to verse 12. Let's read it.
2 Peter 1 from verse 5. Okay. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith.
You see the growth?
Yes, sir.
To maturity.
Add to your faith virtue.
Yes.
And to virtue knowledge.
Yes.
And to knowledge temperance.
Yes.
And to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness charity.
It's not 7 medias.
Can you see the 7 medias that were given to Esther?
Wow.
Me too. Is somebody catching what we're doing here?
Yes.
So it is. When he said, let's move to perfection, you know, it's now talking about maturity. It's not sinlessness. It's not my sinlessness. Because each time you move, you know, the image, the statue of Christ is formed. It's formed. Now, I've not finished. Continue reading that. Now, catch the language that Apostle Peter was using that, then you'll understand what I mean.
Read it up to
verse 12.
For if these things be in you and abound.
Now, if these things be in you and abound.
They make you that you shall neither be boring nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Fruitfulness.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance.
Remembrance of these things, though you know them.
You know them and be established in the present.
And be established in the present truth. And this present truth is not end time message. This present truth, as it is used here, is grace age.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's a topic for another disciple. Let's stay with perfection.
Yeah, because I know why you people have been shouting and talking about present truth, present truth, present truth.
That's true.
The present truth Peter was talking about is grace. As grace ended.
Grace has not ended, but there's a present truth, man, because grace today has been abused.
Does that stop it? That is why he keeps you in remembrance every day.
So we are still saying the same thing.
Be established in grace. This is what grace produces. You have to understand that. Okay. Well, I know you can break it down and say the present truth is now the corner that, that has been
Thank
taken.
Thank you, sir.
And then we move on, but it's still under grace. Now, so you now see that it is talking about maturity. Mm-hmm. But now, in where my brother there that asked that question, pointed out Matthew 5:48.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 5, verse 48.
Okay. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Now, listen.
Yes, sir.
Catch what I want to bring out here. Let me there and you.
Yes, okay, sir.
Before he made this statement, take note that the beatitude has spoken.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Very true, sir.
About murder, we were teaching about adultery, about divorce, about oaths.
Non-revengeance.
Yes, sir.
About love. And this is what he says. be ye, at the end of it, or he say, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven
is perfect.
The perfectness here is not sinlessness. He's talking about total obedience. He's talking about walking in complete obedience. Walking in complete obedience. That's why in the next chapter, teaching them to pray, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is where you come in. When he said, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Can you link it with thy will be done in heaven as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven? Do you notice that exactly what he told Moses, the pattern of the building of the ark,
he
was not to add, that is the perfection.
Total obedience.
Total obedience. Noah, he was told exactly how
the dimensions
yes, of the ark. And the pattern of things, he gave us his word. We are not to add, we are not to subtract. So when you talk about be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven, I understand this scripture to mean walk in total obedience.
Okay.
Obedience to what? He has told us what the laws under grace are.
Okay.
The will of God is concerning fasting, concerning wealth, concerning judging people, the will of the kingdom, and everything is stated in there.
Although he didn't say perfection is sinlessness, but I was a little bit confused because you always teach us it is maturity.
It's maturity.
And he was like, it's not maturity, it's completion. Is there a difference between completion and maturity?
Completion.
Yes, sir.
Completion of what?
He says that's the meaning of this scripture here. Be ye therefore complete.
Even as your Father which is in heaven is complete.
Complete in what?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, the statement is not complete.
Complete in what? I consider it as obedience rather than completion.
Okay.
You know, it's walking in the will of God. Because the essence, he was teaching. So if he tells you to be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, what he's saying is that
measure up to the standard.
Measure up to that heavenly standard has been given to you. Nothing more. It's walking in complete obedience. You know, nothing more.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. The fivefold ministry, Ephesians 4:11, is for the perfection
of the individual
Christian.
Then William Branham's ministry is for the church.
For the church. And I remember that in the restoration age,
yes, sir,
because that is where that ministry is defined.
Okay,
you know,
because I want to say you should point it out to us from the scriptures.
Yeah, to point out to some is appointed Esther.
Okay,
something unique also in that Esther, sir.
Yes,
you've taught us this before, and you made a very vital statement in this Esther teaching. We are not teaching Esther now, but we can also go back to it. You made us understand that first, Esther was not brought to those other chamberlains. Esther was brought to Haggai. Is there something we're not seeing there? Why was she not brought to the other seven? Why was she given to the eighth one, Haggai?
Now, because it was for perfection.
Exactly my point.
Yes.
Is it that her, now, are you making us see clearly that this Haggai ministry is actually to perfect the bride?
Nothing more. It is for perfection.
Okay.
And nobody will go in the rapture without the ministry of Haggai.
You just said it again. And,
nobody will go in the Esther. Amen.
Amen.
Take note. Take note that Haggai, let's go back there. Let's catch something there.
Amen.
Can we get it? And verse 11.
Verse 11. Okay.
From verse 11, let's read it up to verse maybe 14.
Mm-hmm. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women.
Now, hold on. Take notes.
Yes, sir.
Take notes of verse 8.
Verse 8. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, mm-hmm. and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, mm-hmm. to the custody of Agai, mm-hmm. that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Agai, keeper of the women.
He was the keeper of the women. Mm. Go ahead. Mm. Go ahead now. So you are catching something here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now. Now go to verse 13.
Okay, verse 13. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Mm-hmm. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with out of the house of the women unto the king's house.
Uh-huh. Mm.
In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, mm-hmm. to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, mm. which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called
by name. The book of Esther chapter 1 and chapter 2 is deep.
Mm. Mm. Hallelujah. Amen.
It's deep.
Amen.
Now I want you to note something.
Yes, sir.
And people will tell us, why do you say William Branham is a star messenger?
Mm.
We have tried to prove that in several ways.
Yes, sir.
That the star points you to where Jesus, the Word,
yes.
led.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Take note.
Yes, sir.
In the age that we are in now, these stars give us some form of light.
Mm.
Take note that there were wise men from the east.
Amen, amen.
That were, what made them wise?
Mm.
They are the equivalent of the Issachar, sons of Issachar.
Amen, and amen.
Amen.
That had understanding of the seasons,
mm-hmm.
the times, and the seasons. Wise men from the east saw a star among other stars, because there's not only one star in the sky.
It's true, sir.
There was something about that star that they followed, and they found Jesus. We all know that as far as the gospel was concerned, the history of the church ages are concerned, we are in an age now where certainly we saw different stars. Every minister is a star. Every pastor is a star, giving some form of light.
That's right.
Every ministry.
That's true.
But all of us, there is something that stood out in the ministry of William Branham.
Mm. True, sir. Hallelujah.
That is the truth.
Hallelujah.
That is what takes our focus to that ministry.
Mm.
And that is the only ministry that brought the completeness of the world.
Amen.
Mm. Other ministries take one and reject the other.
Mm. Mm.
That is the reason why, but his own is the one that gave us the completeness of the world in this age. Mm. That is why we believe that is a special ministry.
Mm. Mm.
Now, take note now. If you and I believe that the book of Esther, chapter 1, chapter 2, is talking about redemption.
Hallelujah.
It's talking about the grace age.
Yes.
Then there has to be characters here that we see that will also type grace age.
True, sir. Hallelujah, amen.
So it's now left for you to fit them in.
Mm.
So here we have Ahasuerus. He must represent somebody.
The king.
True. Mm.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Here we have Vashti. That's she represents somebody.
That's true. Right.
So tell me who they represent.
Vashti represents Israel.
Israel.
Mm.
Now, when they have 7 chamberlains,
mm.
they must be representing something also in the church age.
Amen.
Then we have another chamberlain called Haggai.
Haggai.
It must represent something in the grace age.
Mm.
Then we now have Shashgaz.
Mm.
Then we are having terminologies as the keeper of the concubines.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
So if you are studying, then you will now begin to place. Begin to place. Now, including the brother that is asking this question. I don't know where he has placed these characters in the book of Esther. I have placed them, and I have found that Haggai is the one that all the women, all the women, you see, all the women, he had the opportunity of preaching to all the churches. Now, these women are not dispensational women. They are, I told you this some time ago.
Yes, sir.
That I used to wonder, you know, why in the Old Testament, God allowed these two categories of people, wife and concubine. Before a king.
That's bizarre, he told us.
You know, so I discovered that, yes, the king has wife and the king also has concubine. But what is the difference between concubine and wife? Now, remember that when Vashti rejected the invitation of Ahasuerus, the king, announcement was made for the replacement of Vashti. And the Bible says that maidens, there were maidens. Everybody wants to marry a king now.
That's right.
That's right.
So you now understand why we have different denominations. Why people even go and pray and then they will hear revelation that let your ministry be Onyejaka International Sonship Ministry.
Oh my God.
You understand? You know?
Amen.
Why your own should call choosing. Another one is in Redeem. Another one is Assemblies of God. Deep another life. One is Deeper Life. Another one, Anglican. All of them are maidens. And they all had the message. They all had the message that William Branham kept preaching. They all, tell me any denomination that does not know about the ministry of William Branham.
This will take us back to dates because they were all within that period of
They were all within that period now.
True, sir.
And then they choose what they like.
Wow.
They choose what they like. But there was the way that we are supposed to be dressed for the King Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And all of them are married to Jesus. When you refuse to be dressed by what I now call the perfecting ministry,
Hallelujah.
Then you are shifted to another ministry called the Shah Asghar's ministry.
Wow.
Shah Asghar represents these denominations who refuse the wholesome truth of the word of God. I want to hold on to fulfill the prophecy, seven women holding on to one husband,
that's right,
Jesus, but we eat our doctrines. We eat our own food, but let's just bear your need. And remember, there's a difference between
the wife
and
the concubine.
Yes. So when I speak about the perfecting ministry of William Branham, I use Esther, where we see him as the Haggai.
Okay.
Then the second place is in Mark chapter 4.
Okay.
Exactly.
The parable from 26 to 29.
Sir, if I'm getting you correctly, sir, the same William Branham's ministry is the perfecting ministry because of the complete word of God.
Exactly.
That he restores back to the church.
That's nothing more.
Okay. Mark 4 from verse 26 to 29.
Now, if you read that parable, you will see that it is talking about the church.
That's right.
Now, this is restoration time now. It's giving the history of the church, what the church will go through till rapture.
Amen.
That's why this parable means so much to me. And until you catch it, you will not understand what the ministry of William Branham is all about. Until you catch these two instances I'm giving you, the story of Esther and this parable here. Now, I want you to note, the seed is planted in the ground and it dies.
It dies.
Yes, sir.
So that you will understand why God permitted the dark ages.
Mm. Hallelujah.
It died with the corruption to fulfill Matthew 13 verse 33 parable of that woman that takes the three works of grace, the three measures of meal, and corrupts them with the leaven until the whole works process of salvation is dead, which produced the dark ages in church history. But there is still a life in it.
Hallelujah. Amen.
There's still a life in it.
Amen.
And when we come to the chronology of the fulfillment of the seal, we shall see them there.
Amen.
So the process of restoration, that restoration is a response to that midnight cry in verse 6 of Matthew 25, which Apostle Paul says begin the process of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. He calls it the shout.
Amen.
And this shout is the restoration message, the restoration revival that started with Luther to bring back those three works of grace. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it is represented in that parable. What is the first thing that comes out after that seed died?
The blade. First, the blade.
The blade is justification. Then what?
Then the ear.
Ear is sanctification.
After that, the full corn in the ear.
The full corn in the ear, which is the three works of grace. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, the restoration of the gifts, which we are killed, the manifestation of the Spirit, we are killed. And all these were three different periods of the growth.
Amen. Of amen.
The process by which the seed that was planted will be formed, and it becomes a sign that the end has come, the rapture has to take place. It is an agenda of God. So Martin Luther spearheaded it.
Amen.
And which becomes the
Reformation.
The Reformation period.
That's right.
Now within that period, many more reformers came up, and he started it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Then we move to sanctification. John Wesley.
That's right.
That is 44, verse 44 and verse 45. Matthew 13.
That's right.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are all the parables there.
Yes, sir.
Everything that pertaining to salvation is put here in parables. So that unless he grants you understanding, you will never know it. Now, sanctification was John Wesley.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Then we come to the third works of grace. It was not William Branham that restored the third work of grace. It was William Seymour.
Amen. That's true.
It was William Seymour. And when he restored the gifts, but all of them were a measure of error. You know, they hold to one doctrine in the Bible. All of them, during all this Reformation period, the restoration of all these, they are needed a fourth stage, which is called the fruit formation stage. What did he say? When the fruit is formed.
That's verse right. 29 of Mark chapter 4.
Yes.
But when the fruit is brought forth.
When the fruit is brought forth.
Immediately.
Which fruit? The fruit of that, the seed that was planted. When you see it formed again. That is what you saw laid down by the apostles.
Amen.
When you see a group of people that now they believe in the oneness of God. They believe in water baptism. They believe in predestination. They believe in holiness. They believe in all these, the gifts of the Spirit.
Complete apostolic doctrine.
The power of the Holy Ghost manifested. When this is formed, and it will be spearheaded by a ministry of...
Yeah. I see it clearly, sir.
A ministry of a guy.
A guy. There must be a guy. And when I look at all the ministers, I see only William Branham fulfilling that.
Amen.
That's why I say he has the ministry of...
perfection. So not for the individual perfection.
No, it's for the church.
For the church.
It's but the fivefold cool. ministry, the fivefold ministry also now is an offshoot of this ministry of perfection.
Okay. So are you trying to say that so one who says he's a fivefold minister and has not followed the ministry of a guy cannot really
perfect how will you perfect the saints when you will still be saying you're a fivefold ministry, you are teaching holiness and yet you are baptizing Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Confusion. That's imperfect.
So you are not qualified to be
that's
a
perfection. That's true.
You are teaching oneness, but you are denying the power of the Holy Ghost.
Imperfection.
Something is wrong.
You are teaching the holiness, but you are rejecting predestination and eternal security. So there are a lot of them that cannot be in the ministry of perfection now.
Wow. Sir, you quoted Matthew 13.
Yes.
This is verse 52. Maybe you help us explain also.
Yes.
He said that every scribe which is instructed. So this is like placing it that there are several scribes.
Yes.
They are instructed unto the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
They are likened unto a man.
A man, yes.
So will it be right if we say that the fivefold ministers, fivefold ministries that we have now,
yes.
Whatever they do, must be similar to what that ministry of perfection has started.
Nothing beyond that.
Okay.
The fivefold ministry is an offshoot of
the perfecting ministry
of Haggai. If not, you can never perfect. Why will you use imperfecting them?
Wow.
What will you use?
The whole word of God has been delivered. Then the fivefold ministry takes it and breaks it down.
Amen and amen.
And this is one of the reasons I am organizing
the ministers' conference.
Amen.
So that we lay this thing down. Now, when you go out, you know what you are perfecting the people.
Amen. Wow, thank you so much, sir. I think this has shed so much light on this topic. Yes. But we have further questions from our brother. Okay, perfection is clear. The fivefold ministry is an offshoot of the ministry of perfection.
Hallelujah.
But there's something interesting he said, because you always teach and you always quote a scripture to back it up, that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth and teach all things.
Sure.
You've always been a champion of this cause that you cannot have the Holy Ghost and go into error.
Sure.
But he says that is wrong. And he's giving an example of the Galatian church. Now, the Galatian church did not have a teacher like Paul to stay for a long period of time with them. So they went into error, yet they were born again. They had the Holy Ghost. But the church of the Ephesians had Paul. He stayed for a long period of time. So they were properly established. So he says you can go into error if you have the Holy Ghost. I don't know. How do you balance that also?
No, I think my brother is getting... Let me quickly put it in two perspectives. The first one... That brother said he received the Holy Ghost in Equa Church.
True.
That's okay. Right. He said it.
Now, what is the evidence that it is the Holy Ghost that he saw? It led him to see the ministry of Haggai.
Amen. Led him to truth.
It led him unto the truth. He therefore corrected the wrong baptism that Equa. Now, but he met a crisis. In the sense that he met a wrong setting. He met people who were supposed to be offshoot of the ministry of William Graham to present the wholesome truth. But here they are again. They came and took the word and they were in margins of error. For instance, like you heard him say that they will not pray no vigil.
No gifts, no manifestations.
No manifestation of the gifts. And he used to speak in tongues. They killed it. Okay, so he met that. But watch it. Because it is the Holy Ghost he had, he still led him away from that error again. And it will continue to lead you. It will continue to lead you. You cannot be comfortable in any error if you have received the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost.
You cannot be comfortable in it.
You can never. Now, watch it. The Galatian church, they were not in error. Although Apostle Paul said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Because they were being confused to go back to the law, circumcision and all the rest. They were supposed to pull away from. Now, the same thing we can say to intermission believers who have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. And we are pulled out of denomination, but when you come in, they denominate you again. Now, this is what Pastor Moses is saying. Oh, foolish bride, when I see you worshiping a man, when I see you worshiping William Branham, when I see you denying the power, when I see you, you know, having your own form of godliness, and I can also say, oh, foolish bride of Christ in this age, who has bewitched you? Because many of them are witches. Who has bewitched you to hold on to that type of thing when you are supposed to have been pulled out of such and come into the, you know, the liberty.
Can we not say that there is some form of error?
Now, this is what I want to bring out here.
Yes, sir.
It is not the error. Remember that Peter brought it up. When you come to Christ, you are a babe.
Okay.
As a newborn babe, what you need desire.
Desire.
Now, watch it here. Watch it.
Okay.
Now, we are supposed to grow.
Amen.
We are supposed to grow. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17.
Faith to faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed.
The gospel is
the righteousness of God revealed
from what?
Faith to faith.
From what?
From faith to faith.
What is faith to faith?
Revelation to revelation.
As it is written.
As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Can you see? It is Proverbs chapter 4. Is it correct? Proverbs chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. 18. Yes, sir.
Verse 18. 18.
But what the path of the just.
The path of the just.
Is as the shining light.
As the shining light that goes
that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
The shining
what? More and more.
Unto what?
The perfect day.
Unto the perfect day.
The path of the just.
Which scripture? Isaiah chapter 28.
Amen. Isaiah 28. Okay.
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 Verse 8, 9, 10. What does it say?
For all tables are full of vomit.
That's right.
And filthiness, so that there is no place clean.
Okay, what did it say?
Whom shall it teach knowledge?
You see?
And whom shall it make to understand doctrine?
Who are they?
Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast.
Two breasts.
Yes, sir.
Now,
precept,
this is how it will go. How is it to go?
For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept.
That's right.
Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little.
And this is achieved through the fivefold perfecting ministry of the teaching ministry, the teachers. So now, when there is no teacher, what will happen? That was what happened.
So they were ignorant.
It was ignorance.
They won't grow. Not that they're in error.
They were not in error.
So that case is not a case of a brother who knows.
Now, but they received the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
But they received the Holy Ghost. And because they received the Holy Ghost, they could receive rebuke. They could be lined up.
Hallelujah.
They can be taught. Most of these followers of the ministry of William Branham have not the Holy Ghost. All they see was the supernatural and they are following. And they follow with the letter, not the spirit. It will take the spirit to follow the spirit. Revelation.
Spirit,
so you have to understand that the Galatians needed growth. They needed growth because remember that was the beginning.
That's true.
Grace was being introduced, and there was the confusion, the same confusion we have even within the entire message, where you have denominationals that glory be to God.
Hallelujah, amen.
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 Oh, glory be to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What that is why Apostle Paul taught us in Romans 11 about graft.
Yes, sir.
The mystery of redemption and grafting.
That's right.
They were grafted from denomination and they come into the vine of this restoration perfection. But when they are to bring forth fruit, what are they to bring forth? They bring forth fruit of where they came from. Therefore, but they are not the original branch that branches off.
That's true.
There are some of us that are original branch of the perfection ministry.
Amen. Amen.
And we branch out there, we shall bring forth the fruit for perfection.
Amen.
So please take note
wow.
that what Galatians were doing, they just needed growth. They needed teachers. They did not have teachers. They had false people that came and they were misleading them. But they had an apostle Paul. They went back to the tapes. They went back to the tapes and they corrected themselves. They understood Apostle Paul, who was now teaching them. And you notice, he began to tell them to walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The perfection of the individual. So you have to understand that.
Wow. Is it the case of Peter? Peter and Paul? Peter would not eat with the uncircumcised. Paul rebuked him because you mentioned rebuking.
Yes, Paul rebuked him because Peter knew the truth. You see, Peter's case was lack of boldness. It was lack of boldness. He was suffering from lack of boldness. He knew the truth because he was in the house of Cornelius. And he saw what God told him. He was not the one that said, these people have the same spirit as us. What forbids all from baptizing them? In the house of Cornelius.
Wow.
Peter, Paul was rebuking him. You know the writing and you are still coming to do these things. And Peter knew better. Did Peter argue with him?
At all.
He didn't argue with him because he knew what he said was the truth. So that's a different scenario.
So the picture we see here is even from...
So he had to compromise to accommodate, you know, so that he just didn't have the wisdom because, remember, it was not his ministry.
Okay. So the picture we see in the Galatian story is different from a brother, for instance, who has been in the entire message, who knows the truth, and yet, for instance, a prophet leaving to pastor a church. It's a different scenario.
No, those ones, they never believe. Those ones okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Those, the questions.
Those are people that, there's not, they, are they going with any doctrine?
At all.
They're not going with any doctrine. Are they teaching any doctrine?
At all.
They're not teaching any doctrine now. They are gathering, there is food to eat. They don't show up. Mm. Well, I'm talking of people who have followership by what they are teaching, not by what they are doing. Yes.
So your answer to this question is you can't have the Holy Ghost and go in error.
No, you can't.
Okay.
Because he will teach you all things. He will lead you
into all truth. Okay. Then another question.
Because the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. So how can you go in error again?
Okay. I'm a heavy one.
You've always taught us, sir. He that is born of God does not commit sin. Yes. That's in 1 John chapter 3.
Sinneth not.
He that is born of God sinneth not.
Yeah.
You've always thought that the meaning of that is that you can't find pleasure in sin. You do not practice sin when you are born of God. That's what you've thought over the years. I've heard you say so.
Well, he are saying, you disagreeing with
him? No. But our brother says that is not the meaning.
But what says that?
leave that to myself.
That must be the one to answer.
Okay.
So the brother said what?
He says that is not the meaning. That when the Bible says he that is born of God, he's speaking of your spirit is born of God. Your spirit does not sin.
No. I disagree with him. I understand different. Let me not use the word disagree. I'd like to use the right language. I understand different.
Okay.
Because that scripture says, whosoever is born of God.
1 John 3:9.
Yes. Does not commit sin. And he gave the reason why he does not commit sin. This does not commit sin here. It means he has no pleasure in sin. Why? For his seed remained in him. Which seed? The seed that remained in him is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
You know what? Now listen. Go to John chapter 1.
Hallelujah.
Go to John chapter 1.
Yes, sir.
Now verse 12 or verse 13.
What does it say? 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born
by what?
Not of blood. Nor of the will of the flesh.
No, not of that is a man and a woman given birth to you.
Nor of the will of man.
The will of man.
But of God.
The will of God. And listen, This is the process. You receive the word. If you receive the word of God, he said it is incorruptible.
Hallelujah.
That is, it cannot be destroyed. It has life. It is the word you receive that convicts you.
Amen.
Men and brethren, what shall we do? When they heard what Peter spoke, they were pricked in their hearts. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen and amen.
It's powerful.
Yes, sir.
It has life. If it is that word that you receive, not some motivational speakers, that tells you, if you come to Christ, all will be well. If you receive the word of God, and that word is in you, you cannot have pleasure in committing sin. Why? Because that word remained in you, and you cannot sin because you are born of God. If by the incorruptible seed of the word of God, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin. But wherewith that shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119.
That I may not.
And verse.
My God.
Verse 9.
Verse 9. Read it for me.
Psalm 119, verse 9.
Yes.
Wherewith thou shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking it thereto according to thy word.
Thy word.
Amen.
Thy word. Chapter 17 and verse 17. John 17:17.
Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth.
What is it that cleanses?
Thy word.
It's thy word. Amen. The word of God. So now, because it will remind you, so you cannot. There's something in you. You know, that word is in you. When you want to do something wrong, the word that is in you,
it checks you.
Hallelujah.
That is the meaning of that statement.
So nothing like your spirit is regenerated, then your spirit is the one that cannot sin.
That's theology.
Theology. Okay, you've done justice to all these questions, sir. And we are very, very glad for
there's one abundance
of knowledge.
This one is, I think, is short. Pastor can answer it quickly. Can one outside the message make the rapture?
You can't.
Because you've rejected the perfecting.
You're not perfected.
I'm talking like Pastor. Applaud me now.
You've rejected the perfecting.
You're beginning to understand.
So that is why we say, if you don't follow the ministry of William Branham, you cannot make the rapture, and I repeat it again. You can't make the rapture. What I'm actually saying is, if you refuse to be perfected,
though you are rude in speech.
I may be rude in speech, but not in knowledge.
Thank you so much, sir. We'll take a short break now to properly digest these things that you've said. And we'll come back, if time permits, we'll continue on this line of revelation. We'll be right back.